Good morning to everybody. And what a lovely morning it is. Okay, well, for those, particularly for those that are visiting this morning, we're, as a church, we're going through a series at the moment entitled Members of One Body. And you've joined us actually on week three of this series. So I thought I'd just, you know, when the title comes up, Members of One Body, one of the things that went through my sort of simple mind is, well, I reckon there's two types of body at the end of the day. There's dead bodies and there's living bodies. All the other bodies sort of go into some sort of subsection beneath that. So now I was thinking about this and I recalled a guy I knew used to work for the police force, and he had some new recruits or relatively new police officers that they were taking through some training. And as you can imagine, you know, police officers get exposed to all sorts of things, you know, and potentially some unpleasant things. So part of this training was that they were going to take them into the area where they carry out all the sort of autopsies, and they do some of the forensic stuff, you know, with bodies. And so they were going there, and you've probably seen it on the telly, so the picture I've got in my mind, you're on Silent Witness, that sort of thing. It was like a big refrigerator, and they've got these big drawers, and they pull them out, and the bodies are in them, you know. Anyway, he got hold of one of the guys, and he says, "Look, for a bit of a lark," he says, "why don't you get there early, right? You get inside one of the drawers, we'll push you in, and then we'll get all the others out, you know, all the other people when they come in, you know, and we'll give them a bit of a talk and that, and then we'll pull the drawer out and you go, you know, and scare the living daylights out of them." "Yes," he says, "I'm on for that." So we got there early, opened the drawer, put them in, shut them in the refrigerator. Okay, you know, wait there for a bit. But what this guy didn't know was actually it was a bit of a double prank. And they'd already put somebody in the drawer next to him. Okay. So, can you imagine it, couldn't you? He was in there, you know, in this refrigerator with presumably these other bodies around him. And they left him there just long enough for you to begin to think, "I wish they'd hurry up." And then this voice says, "It's cold in here, isn't it, mate?" I mean, can you imagine it? I mean, you'd mess yourself, really, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know what you'd do, but I just wanted to assure you that we're talking about living bodies today, right? And when we talk about members of one body, what we're actually talking about is the church. Now, immediately, when, particularly in this country, when you say the church, people think of the building, don't they? Very often they think of the building. Not that there's anything wrong with the building. But of course what we're really talking about is the people. That's what we're really talking about, is the people. Because it's the people that make up the church. And you probably know this, but there was a little sort of silly thing we used to do as kids. And you can sort of do it if you really want a silly demonstration. If you get your hands right, and you sort of put them back to back, the backs of your hands to each other, and you sort of put your fingers interlocked like that, okay, then you sort of fold them back down so you've got your fingers inside, right, and if you keep your little fingers free, some of you know it, okay, and the little sort of ditty used to go, "Here's the church," that's the sort of like that, "here's the steeple," and you put your little fingers up, then you waggle your thumbs, you say, "open the doors and there are the people," okay, okay, you can remember that, "here's the church, here's a steeple, open the doors, and there are the people." Okay, so that's what we're talking about, is the people of God, the family of God. And it's lovely this morning that we've actually, as a family, you know, we've given some attention to Isabel and Andy and Jane, isn't it? Because that's what we would do as a family. So some of the areas that we've been looking at as a church, We've quickly covered that we're diverse by design. If you haven't guessed that already, just looking around. But actually, when you think of the worldwide church, we're very diverse. But we are united for a purpose. And God reveals his plans to us as we go on. But the topic this morning that we want to look at is being joined to the body of Christ. Okay? Being joined to the body of Christ. I almost want to rephrase that and say being actively joined to the body of Christ. And then go a little step further and say being actively joined to the active body of Christ. We're talking about living bodies, aren't we? And that's some gold-coloured aliens just figuring out what to do with a jigsaw. Okay, so I wanted to, we'll be looking in the Bible, but I just wanted to sort of put it in context for you. We're going to be looking in the early part of the book of Acts, but I actually wanted to set that in context for you. So based on what we know from what it says in the Bible, I've put together a sort of a timeline. So we sort of begin over here on that far side of the screen, and as time moves on, we end up on this side of the screen. Okay. So to start with, God sent his son, Jesus, to the earth. Okay? And so we have the birth of Jesus. And then it's well documented that we have the miracles of Jesus. We have an account of his lifestyle, what he did, where he went, the people he interfaced with, and sort of loosely wrapped up. I've called that the miracles of Jesus, things he did, okay? And then we meet the crucifixion where he died on the cross. And he's dead, and he's dead for 3 days. And then you recall that he's raised to life. These are things that we often celebrate and talk about around Easter time, isn't it? Okay? And then there's a period where he actually meets with the disciples and others. You know, so he's raised to life and he actually appears to people before he goes up to heaven. Okay? He's ascended to heaven. That's what it says in Scripture. And ultimately, it says that Jesus that you saw leaving, you know, will come back to collect his church. He will come back to be with his people. Come back to be with his body, the body of Christ. Okay, you sort of follow that, the sort of timeline of that. And all of this is God's plan. Okay, this is God's plan for us. It's God's plan for the world. And I said we'd be looking in the book of Acts. And Acts is sort of about that sort of time period, okay, in events. It's sort of about that sort of time period. And it's funny, but all the bits before Acts are contained in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And you may be familiar with those, you may have heard stories from those and accounts of the things that have happened from those. And then we get to Acts, and it's often referred to as the birth of the early church and the life of the early church. And we always tend to segregate it. But I want to encourage you to think of it a different way and think of it as a seamless move on from the Gospels. So in the Gospels, you've got everything that Jesus was doing and what he was about. And I want you to see the book of Acts as a continuation of the things that Jesus was doing. That's what his church is for, is a continuation of the work of Jesus. And that is part of God's plan. Now, at this point, around about there, Jesus appears to the disciples and he meets with the disciples. And I just want you to think of the last things that he said to the disciples. The last thing that he says to the disciples is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So those are the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then he goes up to heaven. Now if you're one of the disciples, I don't know how you'd feel. I don't know how they felt, in all honesty. I think it'd be a mixture of emotions. Some would feel pretty scared. Some would feel pretty excited. Some would feel expectant. Some would feel quite uncertain. But what they did do was they joined together and they prayed. It says it later on in several occasions in the book of Acts. They joined together In other words, they were saying, look, a bit confused here, but we're in this together. And they join together and they pray. And then at the start of Acts, we have this, in the second chapter of Acts, we have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. Start of chapter 2, verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So this was when the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised he would send to them, okay, comes on his church. And it comes on his church at that strategic time in order for God's plans and purposes to continue, in order for the church to continue with the work of Jesus Christ. Okay? And you think, well, you know, that is, how is that relevant to us? And it's really strategic that we understand that, because that's the time period that we're living in now. Okay, that's the time period that we're living in. Somewhere in there, that's where our experience and our walk with God. See, Jesus empowered the church, not purely at the time of Acts, but he empowered the church for all times. Okay, and I think it's useful to remember that. So we have this outpouring on the disciples in the book of Acts, and they all start speaking in tongues and different languages. And people around hear all the commotion, and it begins to draw a crowd. And Peter actually has to get up and explain what's going on. He has to explain about God's plan. He has to explain that God sent his son Jesus. He has to explain that actually Jesus, it was God's plan that Jesus died on the cross, in order that he didn't have to create sacrifices anymore like they used to. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, so that individuals could then actually have a closeness with God, and they were able to approach God. So Peter has to explain that. And then all the crowd said, well, I didn't realise, you know, what do we have to do? What do we have to do now that we know this truth? And this is Peter's response. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying there is, turn away from your life that you lived in ignorance of God and actually open yourselves to God. And it's demonstrated by baptism, and we're talking about adults here. You see, so where they could make an informed response. He says, you'll be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is in order that you can continue doing the work of Jesus, in order that the church can fulfill God's plan. And so the church grows. And there's various verses. It says, verse 41, it says, and those that accepted Jesus that day, I think there were 3,000 were added that day. Okay. A little bit later on, verse 47, it says the Lord added daily to their number. Okay, so someone was there actually keeping count of this. And the church continued with the work of Jesus. And a couple of their leaders, right, they go off into the town and they find, they see a cripple. Okay, he's a crippled guy and he's begging. And in the name of Jesus and under the power of the Holy Spirit, they actually heal this guy. Okay, so he's up and mobile and he's jumping about. They actually heal this guy. And they get into deep trouble over this. It's bizarre, isn't it? They're helping somebody. They've done something which is good. But they get into real deep trouble over this. And they end up in jail at one point. And they have to explain God's plan again. They have to explain the purpose of the church. They have to explain what's going on. And the result of all of this is that it says actually on that day that the number of their church, number of men in their church grew to about 5,000. That's incredible, isn't it? That's incredible. And all they were doing was explaining God's plan. So you can imagine the church growing. And with the growth of church, the numbers of people, and just sensible organisation, there's actually a lot of practical aspects that go hand in hand with that. And I mean, I've put a picture of an army up there, a regiment, you know, the changing of the guards, I think that is. Imagine if there was no pre-planning or no strategy or organisation, it would be chaos, wouldn't it? And so it's actually very scriptural to actually put some order into the church. And in some ways, that's why it's really helpful to become a member of the church. And this morning that we are going to be acknowledging that and actually welcoming some people into membership. And all that they're saying is, really, is that these people have aligned their lives with the principle of God's plan. With that principle that when the people ask Peter, well, what do we do? And he explained, you've got to repent and be baptized. And, in a sense, give your heart over to Jesus. And you receive forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. They're just aligning their lives with that principle. And we're just recognising that this morning. So some of the practical aspects. Is a sort of governmental and oversight sort of position. And I'll just quickly read that verse. Where is it? Acts 20. And these are scriptural things. It says Acts 20:28. This is instructions for actually the leaders. There's a tremendous responsibility upon the leaders of a church. It says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. It's a healthy thing to have God-anointed leaders watching over a church, watching over the individuals, watching over the people. That's a healthy and a good thing. Imagine if one of the soldiers, for example, wasn't performing correctly. It wouldn't be helpful, would it? And it may be that they need some retraining. It may be that they need some discipline. But it's all in order that the army can be effective. And the same applies to the church. Maybe somebody needs some help, some assistance, some training. Maybe they do need some discipline. But it's in order that the church can be effective. And it brings security to the church as well. And then we all have a responsibility to each other. And we've clearly demonstrated that this morning. And again with Isabel, haven't we? And Andy and Jane. We're saying, yeah, we'll support you. So we have a responsibility to each other to encourage and to support one another. And sometimes that can actually be quite administrative in a way, you know, because there's certain instructions for certain people in Scripture, you know, about looking after, caring after for widows and people in that sort of category. So it is helpful to apply some of these. Have a look at this diagram, this illustration. And it's purely an illustration, so don't read too much into it in one sense. It's there to demonstrate relationships, really. Relationships of people in the church. So you have, if you like, the core members, you know, the main body of the church. And then you have associates. These are just names that I've put on, really. There's nothing to it other than it's just some words I've put together. But I've called them associates. Those are people that I guess would be around church quite a lot. Then we have fringe. Those are people that perhaps are around somewhat infrequently. And then there are contacts, those people that very occasionally, or people that you work with, or you know, just people that you have contact with. And really, it's important to remember that Jesus died for all these people groups. You know, when you think about God's plan, it's applicable to all of these people groups. And really, the question is, you know, where do you see yourself on that sort of plan? Okay, where do you see yourself on that sort of illustration, rather? And ask yourself, what steps should I be taking to be actively joined to an active body of Christ? You know, ask yourself that question. Ask God that question. What should I be doing? What are you saying to me? Now, in practice, it isn't always as well defined as a simple little diagram. You know, I sort of readily admit that. But what we do here at Rugeley is, when people come along to the church, we say, you're very welcome. Come in and join us. And come in and join us for a period of time. We don't specify a particular period of time. I think sometimes it's different for different people. And don't just come, but come and dig deep. That's what I would encourage people to do, is come and dig deep. And when I say that, I mean come and give yourself to worship. Come and give yourself to God. Come and be part of the family. You know, generally when notices are given from the front about different events and things going on, you know, if they're from the front, they're generally open to everybody. They're generally open to all of you. You know, so if you're not certain, come and ask and be happy to accept a bit of guidance from the leaders. Okay? Just be happy to accept that. But come and dig deep. Come and give yourself to God as part of that sort of process. And that way you learn how we function, you learn how the church here functions. And then what we do a sort of membership course. We've done it in a number of different formats, but we've just recently done it, and we've done it over four sessions. And the people that we're going to welcome into membership this morning have just been through this little course. And it gives us time to talk in a little bit more detail about the core values that we believe, and just to find out about their experiences and where they are. And then at the end of that, there's opportunity for the course members to actually, you know, go and meet with the leaders of the church. We call them the elders of the church. And they can just have a discussion. And they can just, in a sense, try and figure out what is God asking for the next step for these people right now. You know, is it right that these people actually now, shall we say, formally attached to us as a body of Christ? So they work out they talk through them, and they work out what is the next appropriate step for them to do. And of course, if they do feel it's appropriate that they join with us, then we welcome them into membership, and that's what you'll see this morning. In Acts, we talked about the church and all that they were doing in fulfilling God's plan. It says the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Sounds a bit contradictory almost, doesn't it? It says no one else dared join them. And then it says more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number. And I think what was going on there is they recognised the power of the church. Now, I talked about the Holy Spirit coming and empowering the church. This was a church that was demonstrating God's power. And I think there were people that recognised that, and they realised that either got to be part of it or not part of it. In a sense, they couldn't be one or the other. And I think there's some people chose or were afraid because they maybe didn't understand all of God's plan at that moment in time to be part of it. And I think that's what that means there. And then, of course, there's others there that said, yeah, I want to be part of that. I want God's plan to work out in my life, and I want to be part of a church that's doing that. And so that's why the church grew in number. So they recognised the church as an empowered people. Every now and again, my son says to me, well, sometimes I say it to him now. he'll often say to me, he says, when we're out somewhere, he'll say, what's top three cars you'd like to drive then? You know, what's the best three cars you'd like to drive? Or what's the best film you've seen this year? Ooh, that's a good one, you know. Another one is, what's the best guitar riff you've heard this week? Ooh, that's a good one, you know. Okay? And they're just like, in a sense, gut reactions. And they are purely that, gut reactions of what is on my, what I'm sensing, what I'm feeling, you know. I've done ones with him. I said, what was the best thing about the holiday we've just had together at Christmas? He says, I enjoyed that curry we went out for. And he says, and he says, the best thing, he says, was actually playing charades with Grandma. Isn't that lovely? You know, watching Grandma, what was it? Walk like an Egyptian. It was nothing like it. It had us in stitches, you know. But that's part of body life, you know, that's part of family life. So, top three reasons. These are my reasons for being part of the active Church of God. So I actually want to be part of that. I want to be associated with that. My wife rang me up 4 months-ish ago while I was at work. I thought, ugh. Something's gone wrong, something's broken, or I've got to get some milk on the way home. And she says, want to hit some good news? I says, yeah. She says, Andy and Jane have just given birth to a little girl. Okay? Isn't it lovely when good news travels fast? And I reckon there's a load of other people here that can actually recall where they were when they heard that news. You know? But that's part of being an active, supportive body, isn't it? So I want to be part of the body, but I actually believe God wants me to belong. He wants to involve me in that process. It's amazing that he chooses to want to involve me, and he wants to involve you in that process. And I really do believe that God empowers the church. God empowers the church to fulfill God's plan. And I think that's really important that we sort of understand that. That's pretty much it, folks.